Hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is video blog number 4. We've got a lot of questions from last week's session. I think it touched a chord in a lot of people. And I've got Neil on Hightower with me. So I want to get right into it. Neil, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, John. How are you tonight?
Yeah, I'm really good. How are you?
Very good. Very good.
Good. Let's get right into it, because I know we've got a lot of questions from last week's session. So.
All right. Well, I'm first going to comment on some things that we're getting inside the forum and some different questions that we're having coming around. And so I'm going to summarize a lot of different things that I've been hearing people say.
Okay.
Many people are really clear now that they've got many triggers in their life that need sorting out. And it's the where to start that seems a little overwhelming for people as far as the live food, daily visualization, finding me time, dealing with past traumas, things like that. So I was wondering if you could address some of that for people. And I know it's something we did talk about in the Ask John session, but it really, I think, could stand covering again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this whole step-by-step course, the whole point of it is that there are a number of triggers that can activate your fat programs in modern-day living, physical, mental, and emotional stresses. And the way to do it is just to take a systematic all-points approach, and that's what we've developed here. So this whole program is geared toward toward focusing on eliminating each one of the stresses that can trigger or activate your fad programs. So if you're right into it now and you haven't been following the checklist step by step, again, I'm going to say this, I've said this a number of times, the way to always start is with the morning and evening visualizations. If you do nothing else, do the morning and evening visualizations from now on. Because in the morning visualization, I have suggestions to help deal with whatever the issue is that we're focusing on for that week, whether it's digestion, whether it's for keeping your blood sugar stable, dealing with stress and emotional obesity. The visualization for that week will help deal with that, will help give you suggestions so that throughout the day, you'll do things to keep your blood sugar stable, to improve your digestion, to eliminate toxins, and to live a lower stress life and to feel safer. So always start with the morning and evening visualization. Also, keep in mind, everything that we're doing is archived, so you have access to all of this information for as long as you need it. So you can go back and do week number one again and go step by step from there on in, now that you understand the whole approach and what we're doing. And you can just go back and listen to the visualization from week number one for a week, and then the visualization from week number two, and just do it that way. But the simplest way to do things is just focus on the morning and the evening visualization. It'll get your mind and body focused on whatever it is that we're dealing with that week, and then everything else will fall into place. So that's really the commitment from the very start. That's what I've said. And even right now, now that we're 3/4 of the way into it, that's still the same thing I'm saying, is that if you do one thing and one thing only, make a commitment that you're going to listen to the morning and evening visualization every day for the duration of the course, and your life will change. There's no question about it.
So, John, if people get, let's just say, for example, somebody's doing well, they're moving along the course well, and let's say that, for example, I don't know, somehow you get messed up and you find yourself 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks down the road and you haven't done a thing. Do you go back to where you left off? Do you go back to the beginning, the week one checklist? I mean,
Neil, if you're in that situation where you find that you haven't done anything, what I would do is I wouldn't go back to the beginning right now. I'd start exactly where we are with listening to the morning and evening visualizations, make that the commitment for the rest of the class, and then incorporate whatever else you feel you can incorporate without necessarily making a commitment to it. Just look at the other items on the checklist and see what you can incorporate, but make a commitment to listen to the morning and evening visualizations for the duration of the class. Then, once the class is over and you get to see that you're able to get your arms around it and understanding the whole thing from start to finish, then go back and start with week one again and see if you can go systematically again by adopting, decide from that week, say, you know what, I'm going to make a point that I'm going to drink water every morning. I'm going to adopt that one thing. Or that I'm going to have an afternoon snack and an afternoon stress break. I'm going to adopt that. So make a point to decide what it is you're going to adopt for that week and then focus on it, and then you can systematically do it yourself. But from here on in, don't go back to the beginning. Just start with the visualizations and make it just that, nothing else. Do the morning and evening visualizations, nothing else. Make it simple. That's all you need to do, and then things will fall into place. For example, if you're if you're listening to the morning visualization about keeping your blood sugar stable, what you'll find is that throughout the day, around 11 o'clock, you might kind of just intuitively be prompted to eat an apple or some nuts and seeds or some salad, just something to keep your blood sugar stable, just because that's what you've been working on in the visualization. So the visualization sort of sets the dials for the rest of the day and the rest of the week to help you incorporate whatever it is that you're working on. So make it simple for yourself. Don't overwhelm yourself. One thing and one thing only. Listen to the morning and evening visualizations and let everything else fall into place.
Good. That's good advice, John. And one thing we talked about in the live session this last week was to ask yourself, if you're feeling overwhelmed, ask yourself, what can you do this week? And I think a lot of people found that really helpful as well.
Yeah, yeah. Focus on what you can add. That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good deal, John. You want to jump into some questions here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Well, we've got one question, actually two questions from Tanya. It's two different questions. One, she wants to know, is kefir a good enough probiotic on its own? That's the first question. The second question is, are the visualizations suitable for children who don't necessarily have weight issues but do have anxiety?
Yeah, I think the visualizations are really, really effective with children. And what's also really effective with children is just listening to the smart mode music. If you just play the smart mode music in the atmosphere, in the afternoons and the evenings, you'll find your whole living environment is much more calmer and much more relaxed. And maybe they go to sleep listening to just the smart mode music. That'll help them get a good night's sleep, help them relax. So I would start with that and see if that helps. Now, as far as kefir is one type of probiotic. Now, we've got probably about 15 or 20 different strains of friendly probiotics, friendly bacteria in our stomach, as well as hundreds of millions of friendly microbes that we need to help digest things. So kefir is just one type of friendly bacteria. It's a good one to have. I would also try to have fermented foods like apple cider vinegar, and miso and tamari, other fermented foods, anything that's fermented has friendly bacteria. And I would also definitely recommend that you take friendly bacteria as a supplement in morning and evening. So the answer is kefir is one nice thing, but you really want as many different sources of friendly bacteria as possible. Digestion is such a crucial issue. And getting the most help that you can get with your digestion will improve every aspect of your life.
Absolutely.
It'll improve how your body's functioning. It'll have less physical stress, which will also help you have less mental stress because you'll have more energy. So starting with your digestion will permeate into every area of your life. So definitely I recommend having the probiotics too.
Right. Okay. This next question is from Linda from Los Angeles. She says, I'm lactose intolerant. Many of your suggestions use yogurt, which I cannot have. I'm also allergic to almonds, so I can't replace milk products with almond milk. Can you give us a few more breakfast ideas to get the big three?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me address the milk issue, okay? You can also make a good milk out of sunflower seeds. There are other nuts and seeds, rice milk and oat milk. I would recommend oat milk over rice milk, actually. Even though it's oats, and oats are not the best thing in the world, just as a milk source, it's not too bad. So sunflower seeds you can make a nice milk out of, and then oat milk also. Now, as far as getting the big three, what we're talking about is we're talking about protein, live food, and omega-3s. So having eggs with salad, sprinkling linseeds on it, having fish with salad, sprinkling linseeds on it, having any type of protein with any type of live food, salads, sprinkling linseeds on it, or chia seeds will give you the big three. Taking things like spirulina or non-dairy protein powders like rice bran protein powder, which is there's a company called Sun Warrior that makes a really good organic rice bran protein powder that's very easy to assimilate. So making a smoothie with just the protein powder or the spirulina, water, fruits, and put in some chia seeds or some flaxseed oil or some linseeds or flaxseeds, ground up, maybe with some ice, sweeten it with either xylitol, coconut palm sugar, or stevia if it needs sweetening. So that's another idea. But pretty much anything where you can get any type of protein that you like, and then any type of live food that you like, and then get the omega-3s in it through the chia seeds, linseeds, or taking fish oil capsules.
All right, very good. This next question is from Debbie from Seattle. And I think this is really a question that can help a lot of people. And, I mean, I go back sometimes and even find myself saying this. She says, "Dear John, I'm having a hard time. I can't quit thinking of going on a diet just to lose some weight for when my sister comes to visit, you know, just to look good. Yeah. I'm listening to you, and it makes sense. However, these old habits are hard to let go. Please, please help."
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, the real issue more than anything is that you're focusing on the other areas of your life that are activating your fat programs. And as long as you're doing that, if you're doing a little bit of dieting in the meantime, it's not going to destroy you. It's not going to blow up the whole thing, especially if you're getting yourself to the point where your body actually wants to be thin, then your body's going to be much more flexible. It's going to want to work with you. If you diet a little bit, it may say, "Hey, that's great because I want to lose weight anyway." So I always keep the focus on whatever the issue is, it's activating your fat programs. And once you're doing that, if you want to cut calories or diet a little bit to look good, whatever, it's not going to be a disaster. Don't worry about it. The place where it does become a problem is when your body's fighting to hold on to weight because there's some stress out there that's activating your fat programs. And then you start to diet, it makes your body want to fight even more. But once the body's not fighting anymore, it's not a big issue. So I wouldn't worry about it.
Interesting. Okay. This next question is from Jennifer. She says, "Why chicken thighs? I notice when a recipe is given, he always says to use chicken thighs. Just wondering."
Yeah, okay. I have a very scientific reason for why we use chicken thighs. We happen to like the taste of chicken thighs. I personally and Una, who develops my recipes, we happen to like the taste of chicken thighs. They're moister. They taste better. And we're trying to make recipes that you really like, so that's why chicken thighs. If you use a chicken breast, it tends to dry out a little bit too much, and then it sucks the flavor out of the meal. So that's why chicken thighs.
Well, I think a lot of the reason that a lot of people end up going with chicken breast instead of chicken thighs is that they're trying to eliminate the fat. We've been trained to eliminate the fat out of our diet. And I think one of the things that you teach, John, is that fat's not necessarily the enemy. It's not something we have to zero in and attack. That is, a little bit of fat in your diet isn't usually the culprit as to why we're gaining weight.
Yeah, no, it's a good point that you're bringing up, because it's never about, you know, it's not about low fat or no fat or low carb or no carb. It's about getting really, really good carbs, because really good carbs are some of the best things in the world for you, and really bad carbs are some of the worst things in the world for you. It's about getting really good fats, because really, really good fats are some of the best things you can put in your body. Really bad fats are some of the worst things you can put in your body. So it's not about low carb or low fat. It's about high quality carbs, high quality fat, and then avoiding the really detrimental, man-made and destroyed and overprocessed fats and carbs. That's the real issue. So chicken fat, when you're cooking...
Sure,
what's that?
Making sure we get in the big three as well, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
All right. I've got another question here from Brett, and he wants to know, he said he's not heard you speak of the benefits of raw organic apple cider vinegar.
Yeah.
Now, I know you have an opinion on it, so can you tell Brett what your opinion is?
Yeah, actually, if you look at the checklist from going back from week one, I suggest that you add apple cider vinegar to your water, because it's a really good source of probiotics. It's a healthy probiotic, and it also helps detoxify the body. So I recommend that you put some apple cider vinegar in your water every morning. So definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, here's another one from Elizabeth. She says, "I understand that it's difficult to digest almonds, so when cooking cakes, et cetera, it's necessary to soak them overnight before using them. If so, what do I soak them in, and in what proportions?"
Okay, I don't think you need to. If you're going to cook almonds, like in a cake or something, you don't need to soak it. The purpose of soaking an almond is because the outside of most nuts have certain things that prevent you from digesting it, called enzyme inhibitors. And when you soak them, the enzyme inhibitors get destroyed, and then you can digest the almond better. So usually, if you're just eating almonds raw, the ideal thing to do is to soak them for about 5 hours, or even soak them overnight, and then dehydrate them, either in a dehydrator, or put them in your oven at the lowest setting with the oven on, with the oven door open, at the lowest setting for about 12 hours until they get dry again. And then they get back to being crunchy again, but they're much better to digest. And I recommend you do that with all nuts, that you soak them overnight, and then you dehydrate them, and then they become very digestible. All of the organic nutrients are still there. They're not destroyed. The fats are still there. The fats aren't don't get corrupted, and the enzyme inhibitors go away. So it's a simple thing to do. You just soak them overnight, and then you dehydrate them either in an oven or a dehydrator. So it's a really good point. But if you're cooking it in a cake, you don't have to worry about it because the enzyme inhibitors will get destroyed in the heat. Unfortunately, most of the healthy fats get destroyed too, but definitely the enzyme inhibitors you don't have to worry about.
Okay. Here's another one from Arna from Australia. She says, "Hi, John. I've been losing between 300 and 800 grams per day for the past 5 weeks, and suddenly I've gained a kilo and I've plateaued. Could this mean my body is creating a new set point? And if so, what do I do?"
Okay, so you're losing a lot of weight very quickly. I mean, that's what she's saying, 300 to 800 grams? Is that what she's saying?
Per day.
So that's a couple of pounds. It's like a pound and a half, almost a kilo a day is 800 grams. That's an enormous amount of weight to lose very, very quickly. Your body's, if you've lost that much weight that quickly, then your body is going to want to feel out, going to want to have a natural plateau for a while to feel out this new set point, make sure it's safe to be operating at this lighter level before you make your next shift. So I wouldn't worry about it at all. When I was losing weight, there were very few times that I lost weight that quickly, as quick as you're losing weight. But there were periods of times where I did lose weight quickly, and then I'd have a couple of weeks or even a couple of months where I wasn't losing anything, and then I had this huge breakthrough again. So your body needs to feel safe and comfortable at the new level before it can make the next shift. So you've lost an enormous amount of weight very quickly. It's great. Just let your body adjust, and then it'll go to the next level. So you're doing great.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, here's a question for Carolyn. I wanted to thank her for sharing this with us, and I hope she doesn't mind us sharing it with the group. She says, "John, tonight you hit the crux of my weight gain and the associated symptoms. I was adopted. The issue of abandonment and safety are linked in me. Do you have any suggestions that may be of help? I've done the forgiveness work and do not harbor any ill feelings. This is purely about my own psyche and not being held and kept safe at birth."
Yeah. Well, the first issue, definitely listen to the visualization that we created this week for feeling safe. I would listen to that every day for a month. That should be your main visualization. So go ahead and continue the course, because we're going to have a new visualization next week and then the week after. So continue the course. After that, go back to the safety visualization that we made and continue to listen to that. And then I would also try to get some professional help with people that deal with healers that deal with regression therapy. We've got a couple that we recommend. Contact Jenny from my office, Jenny at the Gabriel Method. She'll give you a couple of recommendations of people that can do it from remote areas. Or go to your health food store, look at the billboard, take a look at all the different healers that are up there, see if there's one that resonates with you, one that you feel safe and comfortable with. Contact them and have some sessions with them. Definitely. But between the visualization and the sessions, that's the area I would work. Keep that column of light around you, wherever you are, and feel that connection with either the angel wings or that loving presence around you. Keep that around you whenever you think about it in any aspect of your life, especially during the day when you're feeling stressed or threatened. Bring all of those resources in at that moment.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for that, John. This next one is from Judith in Oregon. She says, "Why not refer people to OA, Overeaters Anonymous, which is in complete alignment with the Gabriel Method, a spiritual program, not a food program?"
Yeah, I've never been through Overeaters Anonymous. I don't know if it's aligned or if it's not. I do know that, I mean, the 12-step programs in general do try to give you a feeling that you're connected to a higher source, and that does help reduce stress and things like that. So I don't know if it's in complete alignment. I've never done the program. I do think, though, from my recollection in talking to people that have gone through the program, they focus more on behavior modification than addressing the real issues. In terms of, you know, they get together, you had a good week or a bad week, and it becomes about discipline and behavior modification rather than understanding why the body would want to hold on to weight, why the body would want to, quote, sabotage you, when it's not really sabotaging you. So I don't know if it's in complete alignment, but I do know that there's probably some positive qualities to it, yeah.
Okay. We've got a question here from Tanya. She wants to know if she should give her family worm treatments.
Well, it depends on what the treatment is. I mean, because if you just go to a pharmacy or a drugstore and get a worm pill, it's probably one of the most toxic things you can put in your body, or, you know, to, kills everything, worms and everything good too. So it really depends on how you're treating your family for worms. There are healthy ways to do that, taking things like black walnut and wormwood, or also called artemisia, and clove. Those three are very powerful antifungal and antibacterial and anti-worm things, herbs. So you might want to use those as tinctures. Also, garlic's really good, but I wouldn't just take a conventional pharmaceutical approach to anti-worming, because that's going to kill all the good things too. More important, what's that?
Is there any way to tell if you have worms, John?
What's that?
Is there any way to tell if you have worms? I mean, how would you know?
Pretty much everyone does. If you're eating a modern day diet and you're living a typical Western life, you have worms. But by adding friendly bacteria, trying to limit the amount of antibiotics that you take, and chlorinated water, eliminating the types of things that cause the worms, and also the processed foods that can cause the yeast, candidas, and worms, by eliminating those or reducing those, and by adding the friendly things like probiotics and digestive enzymes that replenish your intestinal tract with the friendly bacteria, over time the worms will be pretty much outcompeted, is what happens. There's nothing for them to live on, and then all these friendly bacteria come in and outcompete them. So that's a natural, kind of organic, steady way of getting rid of worms, rather than taking a pill that goes in and kills everything.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, we're getting through a lot of questions here. How much more time have we got, John?
I don't know. Let's keep going.
Okay. Here's a question from Sue. She says, can you give a couple examples of non-steroidal anti-inflammatories that lead to leaky gut syndrome? What are good alternatives to lowering inflammation with the GM guidelines?
Omega-3 fatty acids lower inflammation, and so does live food, because live food helps clean out all of the toxins that go into our joints and cause inflammation, and omega-3s are natural anti-inflammatory. So following the GM method, making sure you're getting lots of live food and omega-3 fatty acids will help with inflammation automatically. And, when my father was alive, he suffered from inflammation, and he used to take non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, and he used to take actually Vioxx. And I used to tell him, just have ground flax seeds instead. It's a natural anti-inflammatory. And he sort of fought me, and he would have just whole linseeds. And I'd say, why are you taking them whole? He goes, oh, I like the way they taste when they're whole. But I said, but your dad, you're not digesting the omega-3s. And he just sort of fought me, and he took his Vioxx every day. And he took care of his health for the most part. He used to go to the Pritikin Institute. He used to bike 5 days a week, and he'd go to the gym. He was a real kind of health nut. And then one day, he just drops dead of a heart attack. And then a month later, they pulled Vioxx off the shelf, because it turns out that Vioxx can cause heart attacks. And Merck, who makes Vioxx, was withholding this information for 4 years. They knew this for 4 years, and they were withholding the information. And there was this humongous lawsuit, and most people know about that. And my dad was taking Vioxx every day for 4 years. Now, if they had just told him 4 years ago that it caused heart attacks, he would never have taken it. But it was all about dollars and cents, and now my dad's dead. And all he needed to do, really, was get more omega-3s in his diet, because it's a systemic lack of omega-3s that causes the inflammatory hormones to come out and cause inflammation. So simply following the Gabriel method by adding more live food and adding more omega-3s will help reduce inflammation, arthritis, and many other chronic illnesses.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing that, John.
Yeah.
Here's another question from Vanessa. She says, last time I had a blood test, the doctor told me I had an abnormally low level of cortisol, mm-hmm. and this has resulted in drained adrenals. So mm-hmm. she put me on an adrenal booster supplement. Unfortunately, I can't take it, as it keeps me awake at night. I am managing to take half the dose, and I think this is helping. My question is, my cortisol level being low is also causing the is it also causing the fat programs to be on? And if not, what's happening?
No, it's not causing the fat programs to be on, but the stress response is definitely causing your fat programs to be on. And basically what's happening, what I'm hearing is you're totally overworked. Your adrenals are overworked and shot, and that's caused by whatever stress is in your life. So the natural way to address this is to deal with the stresses in your life through listening to the visualizations that we've created. So the visualizations for stress and living a lower stress life are really crucial for you right now. You need to take some time just to yourself also, if you can. give your body a chance to regenerate and regroup. You're overworked, and it's a common thing that happens with people. And the reason why it activates the fat programs is even though your cortisol levels may be low, the cycle may be reversed. So it causes your cortisol levels may be a little bit higher at night and lower in the morning. And that's why they're coming up as low cortisol levels, because not because your cortisol levels really are low, but because the cycle got reversed. And they should be at a certain level during the day when your doctor took the test, and they're not, but they get elevated at night. So especially if you find that you're having, if you're having hunger at night, then what's probably happened is your cortisol levels aren't low. They've just been reversed. The cycle's been reversed. And that's common when people are overworked and in chronic stress. And that does cause, that does lead to activating the fat programs.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got another question here from Deborah. She said, I have always put on weight in winter, so I'm thinking maybe cold makes my fat programs go off. I'm not sure what I can do about that short of moving.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, cold weather is one of the original triggers of the fat programs. Originally, fat was designed to protect us when we were living outdoors from not having enough to eat and from being chronically cold. So do two things. Do as much as you can to stay warm. Wear extra layers in the wintertime. And get as much sunlight as you can. Whenever the sun's out, sit on a park bench for 15 minutes, close your eyes, let the sun bathe your face. So get some sun whenever the sun's out. Dress warm. You drink a lot of warm water, warm teas. Don't drink cold water because that'll get your system too cold. Drink warm water. Have soups. Keep your system as warm as possible. So warmth and sunlight will help deal with that. But that's really common. Most people might put on a couple of pounds every winter and then lose it again, but that's just a very natural thing. That in and of itself isn't going to cause any kind of serious weight problem. That's just a yearly fluctuation.
Okay. All right. We've got another question from Lee, and there was a TV show last night that talked about fat cells being created when we're children if we were overweight then. I remember John saying he could use a mental image of himself as a teenager as his ideal body, so perhaps he wasn't a chubby youth. What does he think of the implications of having these additional fat cells, which apparently want to fill themselves up all the time, and achieving the lack of floppy skin left over after losing weight?
Actually, I did. I was a chubby teenager. I went through a period of time from about 12, 13, 14, where I had about 15 kilos or 30 pounds on me. So I did go through that period. Fat cells will die over about it takes about a 7-year period for fat cells to die. But fat cells when you're in a state of expansion of gaining weight, your fat cells will replicate, but they also will die. And what my experience is, because look, by the time I was 400 pounds, I had lots and lots and lots of fat cells. This idea that the fat cells want to fill themselves, I don't agree with that, because now it's been 7 years for me and my fat cells don't want to fill themselves, and then they eventually die. So I wouldn't be worried about that too much. I don't think it contributes to loose skin at all, how many fat cells you have. I think the only thing that contributes to loose skin is how elastic or inelastic your skin is, and there's a lot of things you can do to improve the elasticity of your skin, such as living a lower stress life, because stress and the stress hormones cause your skin to lose its elasticity, doing things to detoxify, having live foods and omega-3s will help your skin improve its elasticity, because the less toxins you have in your system, especially when your organs are not overworked with toxins, then your body retains a lot of vitality, and that vitality will keep your skin as elastic as possible. So, and losing weight also in a very gradual, steady way will help your skin improve its elasticity. I don't think it's related to how many fat cells you have.
Okay, very good. All right, here's a question from Lisa in Texas. She says, is there any particular modality you found or heard of that's helpful for clearing cellular memory, perhaps a certain type of massage, EFT, acupuncture, et cetera?
I don't think you need to clear cellular memory. What you need to do is create a reassociation with the cellular memory. And by doing things like the visualizations, that, especially the visualization for this week, where we go back to whatever past situation, and we sort of reprogram the association so that it was a safe situation, and maybe it wasn't safe, but at least now we have a safe memory, and so we're carrying with us a feeling that life's safe versus a feeling that life's unsafe. So going back to your past and having a positive association with it, where you're getting stronger and taller and more vibrant, and whatever the thread is getting smaller and smaller, will, as you say, kind of clear the memory, but really what it does is it reassociates the memory so that it's not a painful memory. And having a professional do that, someone who's a professional in regression analysis, could be really, really useful in helping to reassociate that memory. And I think it's important to reassociate that memory because, as I said before in the class last week, is imagine, God forbid, you got mugged one day, and then for 20 years you were walking through the city without any fear, but now every time you get close to someone, every time someone looks at you the wrong way, there's fear. And that's because of a past association. So you got to go back and make that association less fearful. The visualization will do that, and also working with the healer will do that.
Very good, very good. Okay, I've got one more question here from Deborah that wants to know more about glucagon, the hormone that gets the energy out of the cell, as I suspect I'm either not producing that or that hormone also can't get access into the cell. Do you have any more information on this?
We talked about glucagon briefly in session number 2 when we talked about insulin. The issue is not so much that your body isn't producing glucagon, it's that if your insulin levels are too high, and insulin won't let your body produce glucagon. So getting your cells of your body more sensitive to insulin by lowering stress, having omega-3s in live food and protein, by doing those things, improving your digestion, detoxifying, all those things will get the cells in your body more sensitive to insulin, which will lower your insulin levels, and then your body can produce glucagon, which then gets which then burns fat and gets the energy out of your cells and keeps your blood sugar stable. So that's the real issue. And we talked about it. Go back and listen to session number 2. They'll give you all the information, probably a lot more than you even want on that, on getting on glucagon and insulin.
All right. All right, very good, John. Well, we're in pretty good shape over here. Those are all the questions that were forwarded over to me.
Okay, great.
Do you have anything you want to say to people as we're walking into week 5 here?
Yeah, no, we're going to start week 5. We're going to talk about the thing that everybody hates to talk about, which is exercise. And I'm going to approach exercise in a very different way than you've heard before. Exercise traditionally has been used as a calorie burning tool. I'm going to teach you how to use it as a way to get your body to want to be thin, which doesn't require a lot of work, a lot of time, or a lot of effort. And plus, this is a really good time to do it because we've spent the last 4 weeks dealing with whatever issues are activating your fat programs. And it's really your fat programs that are getting your body to not want to exercise. Because when your fat programs are on, you don't want to exercise. You want to conserve. So now we've dealt with the fat programs. We've dealt with some of the issues. You might start to have more energy. I want to channel it in the right direction so that you get the maximum benefit possible if you do start to be physically active. So tune in for tomorrow's class. It should be a good one, and I look forward to speaking soon. Thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot, John.
Okay, thanks, Neil.